And it's a big thing in America, like, you know, landowners, like, you know, this is my land. They have land, like, all separated and stuff, like, they own it. Also, one of them is that the land, like, automatically goes to the next heir in line. Like, it's not just given to a government or somebody to sell or whatever. It's given to, it stays in the family, you know, the land can stay in the family. So, that's what I mean.
Okay. Yes, that both of those points were going to be the points, 2 points I was going to make, but I also had a third point. The other one was that the elders make the decisions in the community. I think that was different because here all we do is we have one head that speaks for everyone, and everybody there, you know, everyone has to do basically what that one person tells them. When there's elder communities, they all, you know, make up the rules and they all consult each other instead of just being one person being supreme.
Cool. Nasha, I was really not, I wasn't talking about, you got it right in terms of homework. What I asked is that Akanke, when I left out and my computer got crazy and I had to also get some students who came here set up, I asked her to read out some of the parts from some political theories and principles, and she'd read some of these, and I'm just wanting you to bring your attention to them, okay? Oh, using computer mic, okay, no problem. And I wanted to, in order to bring your attention to it, just have you notice some of the things that are different, okay? Because these different, as you're studying different governments and writing about U.S. government and comparing it to African governments, you're going to be comparing it to political theories and constitutions, the African constitution, okay, the ancient African constitution. And when I was your age, I didn't even know such a thing existed, you know. I mean, to tell you the truth, for me growing up, Africans didn't have any government. Africans were savages and Europeans, you know, so y'all are blessed that John Henry Clark and Bobby Sahilliard and Chancellor Williams and many others have come forth. So that's not even something that you have to deal with. Now, there are still some of your peers in the world that have to deal with that. But your job then is to go deeper. While for me, your age, it was just discovering that Africans had a government. Now you're discovering what are the principles of that government so that you, as you study governments, now both U.S. government and government of another African or diasporan country, you have the foundation to compare it to this. So we were elevating these pieces from what she read, Nasha. So I was just asking, given her reading and what I saw before I was locked up, some of the she was typing and putting in the text chat. What are some of the things that kind of stood out for you as different, or that was cool, or that were yuck? So it's not that you didn't do homework. What about the court stuff? Okay, what did she say about the court? This is number two. Did you remember that one? The court.
Yeah, that she said that it was like brought to the council of elders or the eldest person in the family instead of being brought to the court, if I remember correctly.
Okay, question. Given what she read, who's higher, the chief, the king, or the council of elders? That's right, the Council of Elders. Does the chief own the land? Very good. The chief's job is to be the custodian to make sure fair distribution and that the land is actually used. Now, what about the one that all money, gifts, taxes, and other forms of donations to the chief or the king still belong to the people for relief or aid to individuals in times of need? So, is money in the Bush family available to your family in times of need? Okay, great. Then I'll read some, Nasha. Great. Okay. So, on page, just take a note, Nasha, because on page 170 of... This is the chapter that I assigned last time, if you was able to get the book, was called The African Constitution, okay? And we read some from it this morning, starting on page 161. I'm going to scan in the whole chapter. I haven't done that yet. So I wanted to draw your attention as you begin to research and look at government, okay, then you want to look at ours first before theirs even existed. On page 171, number 11, every member of the state has a right of appeal from a lower to a higher court. In some cases, in some states, appeals could be taken even from the king's court to the what? What did it say, Akanke? To the what? Whoops! Can you believe that? In some states, you could even take it from the king's court to a higher court, the mother of the nation. And we got to be in Europe, right? Of course, mothers had that kind of power in Europe, of course, right? All right. Now, it's important that you understand. See, have you understand that while our system didn't look like European systems, we had our own systems, okay? Now, let's say a little bit more. The procedure was from the chief's village court to the district court to the provincial court to the king's court, okay? And number B, such appeals were allowed in serious or major crimes only, those affecting the whole society, okay? Check this out. We're now at number 12. Fines for offenses against an individual went to the victim, not to the court. All right, number 13, royalty in African terms meant royal worth, the highest in character, wisdom, or sense of justice and courage. So now how is that different? How is royal worth different from royalty in the typical sense that we're used to it from movies and television in Europe? Royal worth versus royalty in the European use of it. What's different? Anybody else? What does royalty mean? Your royal birth. What does that mean generally? He was a royal birth. Typically, as you think of it,
like somebody whose family like had a lot of power and they were like ruler of the rule something, and they were generally called royalty.
Yeah, or they have royal blood because they're part of this family that's been ruling over several people for the longest time. So yeah, that's pretty much how I think of royalty. That means that kid that they had would have royal blood and have, you know, some sort of power or, I guess, like, superiority over the people that they're ruling.
That's right. So royalty typically means royal blood. So you're blue blood. You were born a certain whatever. Now, there's also royal worth, the highest in character, wisdom, and sense of justice and courage. Okay? That's right, blue blood, royal, purple, whatever. The thing here is royalty, in African terms, all right, meant royal worth. The highest in character, wisdom, sense of justice, and courage. The highest in character, wisdom, sense of justice, and courage. Okay? Now, many African... blue blood... right. Check this out. He who founded the nation by uniting many as one must be the real leader, guide, and servant of his people. How are you a leader, guide, and a servant? Help me out. How can you be a leader and a servant at the same time?
Well, because a leader has to provide for the people who he so-called rules over her, or so who he leads, like in with the whole Bougainville piece, how he was, like, considered their leader, but he was, like, bringing chopped wood to people and stuff and helping them fix their houses and stuff. So I guess in that sense, he could be a leader in the service.
And also, a leader could also be, a leader because of the power that they give him, but he also has to do what God tells him. He has to follow what God tells him. He's a spiritual leader.
Yeah, and also, the leaders are supposed to be, I've heard this many times in African society, that the leader is supposed to be the provider of the people, not the exploiter or the one that's supposed to be superior. He's supposed to be the provider as well as leader. So in that sense, he could also be, you know, a leader, someone to look up to, and also someone that provides for you.
Very good. Now, tell me, what are the five questions? Issachar, you might not know this. Safiya, I expect, and Nasha, and Akilah, and Akanke. What are the five questions from last year, the Bible Clock, five leadership questions? Because these are the questions that are essential for nation building. Five leadership question. Okay, so you weren't here and Amir wasn't here, okay? Five leadership questions. All right, that leaves Safiya and Nasha and me. What are they? Okay, great, she's typing. That's right, you weren't here, Akanka. So take note, because this is how... Bible Clark said is there are five questions that leaders, like yourselves, must ask and answer. Found it. Hold on. Very good, Safiya. How will you clothe yourself? How will you feed yourself? How will you shelter yourself? How will you educate yourself? All right. Close, we got... all right. The first is, you're close. A leader must ask and answer these questions. How will our people stay on this earth? Number one. How will we stay on this earth? That is not guaranteed. There are many people who become extinct or driven to the point of extinction or killed out. Okay? A leader must ask and answer these questions. How will we stay on this earth? How will our people stay on this earth? Very good. Number two, how will we be fed? How will we be housed? And you got it, shelter. Y'all got it. I'm not quibbling over the words. I love what you've done, well, Safiya and Nasha. Great. How will we be fed? How will we be housed? How will we be clothed? And then, as Safiya just put down there, how defended? How will we be defended? Okay. Those are the indelible questions of leadership. Okay, so if you are asking and answering these questions, okay, then in fact you are a servant of our people. If you are defending our people, are you not a servant? If you are providing clothing and shelter and education, you're answering these questions and doing the things necessary to make that happen. He also asked in another place, if you are a leader, then what is the message that you're going to carry? And where did you get that message from? What elders' feet did you sit at, okay, in order to get the message that you are the carrier of? Okay? So that's, you know, how you are a leader and you are a servant of the people. Now, that's very often different, okay, from some other places. All right, so there you got that. Now, yes, you may, Issachar. Thank you for asking. Okay. I'm going to go to the very last one, which is 20, in the section on page 173, which is 21. The supreme command of the fighting forces is under the council, not the king. If the king becomes the commander-in-chief, it is through election by the council, okay, because of his qualification as a general or field commander. This position ends with the war and the armed forces return to former status under the council, or more directly, under the respective paramount chiefs. There are no standing armies. The supreme command of the fighting forces is under the council, not the chief. Okay. All right. Now, what we've been dealing with so far is the Constitution, political theories and principles of ancient African constitutional law. I'm just going to read to you a little bit from the Fundamental Rights of the African People. Actually, Kanke, you can help me again. If your mic is doing, what about read the first five, please.
The people are the first and final source of all power.
You can start reading from page 174, the fundamental rights of the African people. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
The right to equal protection of law, the right to a home, the right to land sufficient for earning livelihood for oneself and family, the right to aid in times of trouble, the right to petition for redress or grievances.
Okay, great. So you got, let's start where you end. Did y'all hear that? The right to petition for redress of grievances. What does that mean? If you need to look up redress, check it out. Petition, the right to petition for redress of grievances. What's that? Okay, if someone wrongs you, grievance, okay, someone runs into your car, just runs a red light and bams in your car, okay, or your car is parked and they run into it, all right, who do you petition for redress? Because you've been undressed, so you're going to be redressed again. Hopefully you're getting it. Okay. Great. Well, if you petition your insurance for grievance, then the insurance is going to do what? They're going to take the person to court. Okay. All right. There you go, Akilah. Redress. I just also synchronized you. Damages, a sum of money paid in compensation for loss or injury. Right. Make reparations or amends for. Right. A wrong done to victims of the African captivity. Act of correcting an error or fault or an evil. Okay? So, redress. Okay? It's called redress. So, if you read this again, as Akila has put it here, number 5, the right to petition for redress of grievances. The right to criticize and condemn any acts by the authorities or propose new laws. The right to reject the community's final decision on any matter and to withdraw from the community unmolested. The right of rebellion and withdrawal. Now, that is, if you don't like it, then you can go on off with your group and start your community someplace else. Okay? So you don't have to take it. You don't have to like it. If you stay here, you got to abide by it. If you can't do that, move on. Okay? Number 8, the right to a fair trial. There must be no punishment greater than the offense. What? This is African constitutional law, the fundamental rights of African people? All right? Couldn't be. These are savages. Okay? They're not civilized. Only when you get the United States Bill of Rights do you get these things. Okay? There must be no punishment greater than the offense, or fines beyond ability to pay. Or fines beyond ability to pay. Or fines beyond ability to pay. This latter is determined by income and status of the individual and his family. Y'all with me on that? Y'all, do y'all understand how powerful that is? No. No, of course they don't do that. America is not a system of justice, okay? All right? It's a system of control. The human being is innately evil, and there must be somebody on top and somebody on bottom, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So there are others. So, you know, you ought to know the fundamental rights of the African people. There are 20 of them, okay? You got to know them. Put them in your notes, study them, memorize them, use Kumbuka, do what we got to do, okay? And you're going to be comparing as you study the constitutions and the structure of the governments of the U.S. We want you to, and let me just stop. Do y'all get a sense of why it's important for us to start with the African Constitution if we're going to start this course on understanding comparative government? Give me some thoughts and feedback on that.
So we can understand, I don't know why I can hear myself, but so we can understand some of what kind of laid the foundation for that, or what we came from, instead of telling us, you know, what they were. Hold on, I can hear myself. This is good.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's a great way to set the course because, like Akilah was saying, we can see what we came from in terms of how places can be governed in terms of governments sometimes don't just have to be dog eat dog and people benefiting off of other people's losses. So I think it's great for us to first see how African people or how our people rules and governed. So that way we don't get so used to or infiltrated into the European system and thinking that's the only way of governing. Instead, we can look at how we govern, you know. So
that's true, and I definitely think it's important because then you know, just like totally dispels the myth that oh, you know, the Africans they were just heathens and all this stuff. They really had, you know, like constitution and everything, like it was, they all had, you know, late laws and everything. And I think that's important. I feel like Nasha and Keela were saying that, you know, you don't just get so used to the dog world and the government and everything. They don't really care nothing about the people. So yeah. And it's also always, you know, better to start where we came from.
I know when, all of those are absolutely great answers, and you're right. When I first started learning about this stuff, it was like, oh, that's cool. That's right. You know, Locke you start learning about Thomas Jefferson. Those, look, it was great principles. Now, of course, they didn't use these principles. They just said them, okay? But still, they were great principles. Never knowing, okay, that these great principles were our principles, and even some that were not even here, that were deeper. And so it's really key that we know these, and you're able to articulate these, and you can compare and contrast these with the others. As you, you know, like many people still think it's so natural that people own property, you know, as opposed to that, you know, the property belongs to the people and it's apportioned. And everybody, when they come of age, is given land in order to produce for the community, for their family and the community. Imagine that. Imagine all you had to do was to successfully complete high school, successfully, okay, with skills and knowledge. Now, not high schools like we have now. I'm talking about a high school where you would come out with knowing how to do things, really knowing things, okay. Or let's even say, if you successfully completed college, okay, with skills and with knowledge, then you would be given land for you to live on, grow things on, create your business on, blah, blah, blah. What would happen? What do you think would happen? Do you think people would actually finish school and go to college? If just graduating, skilled and knowledgeable, you would be given land, you know, for you to build on and whatever. What would that change things, do you think? See, no catch. The assumption is that if you given land, okay, to build things on, that you will build for the community, that your business will serve the community, that your what you develop in your family will serve the community. And so automatically you didn't have to fight for it. Okay? Now of course if you were given the land and you didn't use it, then it would be taken from you because you weren't using it. But your job would be using it. And you got a 99-year lease. Okay? So that, you know, it's a different process, okay? So just want you to be aware of that, and so that's important. Again, I'm going to copy the whole thing, but I still want you to have your own copy, all right? And we've been reading from 161 to 175. Now, later on, we're going to go into the area starting with chapter 14, Organizing for Race Action, and then more specifically 25, The Shape of Things to Come, A Master Plan. Okay, let me see if I can get that there. Okay, where we're going to say what is it that we need now to get us out of the situation that we're in. Okay, well, the first part we're going to master. You don't have to worry about the second one. Mostly I want you to concentrate on 61 to 75. Take notes. Put them on note cards, whatever way you want to begin, where you put those principles in your head, okay? So that as you're doing research, you have protection from being bamboozled, you also can continue that comparison. As you're taking, doing other research in other places, you can begin to take note. You can compare that to how Africans would do it. You can write it in a side, or you can go back into this part and check that and see how our African constitution and principles of rights compare. Okay, so that's that part. Now, I'm going to now switch. Any questions about that? Are you clear about it? And while you are in with Mama Yepende, I'm going to make the copies and upload them to the wiki site. Okay. All right. So now let's go to language arts for the next 30 minutes before we go to Mama Yepende. What did you, I ask you, can you load it up like a page, not a doc? I don't understand.
Oh, wait, like, could you load up like a wiki page, and not like a document?
Nope. It's scanned in as a PDF file, which is an image. And a PDF file is attached as a PDF document. Now, when you say document, you need, you just, part of the learning here is get to knowing what to call things. It's a PDF file, and in order for me to put that embedded into a wiki page, I'd have to turn them into images, and then put the images on the page. No, that's going to be, right now I can't do that in the time that I have, okay? What I want you to do is to make sure you download Adobe Acrobat 9. You also need to upgrade your browser to Internet Explorer 7, even though you don't use that browser. The wiki space takes the settings from your Internet Explorer browser. I encourage you not to use Internet Explorer at all. I encourage you to use Firefox or Chrome. Chrome is my favorite, Firefox is my second, or Opera, which is the fastest browser, okay? Those are the ones I recommend for you to use on your day-to-day use. Internet Explorer 7, because sometimes you get to some financial sites or other kinds of things and they need it. Also, in this case, this conference space takes its settings from your Internet Explorer. So you want to do that in Internet Explorer 7. If you want to do 8, it's up to you. That's going to be critical. You also need to download and install Adobe Reader. 9 is the latest version. Okay? And that way, it really will pull up, should pull up in your window. Okay? So those are two things you need to do. Okay? Is that cool? Are you straight, Isaacar? All right. So, let's look at, tell me about your discussion about your papers and your presentation of your papers. What did you learn? What did some people tell you that was useful to you? What feedback did you get? And if you've done that, put your links here if you put them on your wiki page. While you do that, I will go to my email.
I put mine on my wiki, but it still needs some work because my computer kept on freezing. So I guess it didn't save a lot of my changes. So I've really heard about that, but I'm finishing it right now. In Word, and I didn't get to read my whole thing earlier because my internet had come down in the middle of the beginning. So yeah.
Basically the only feedback that I got was I should put titles at the beginning of like my chapters, like name my chapters, like that was the only feedback that I got. And Bible Castle, I sent it to year1@iaed.com. Does that still work?
Yes, it just does work. It does work, absolutely. I'm looking right now.
Bible Castle, when I was making my wiki page, I copied and pasted a story from out of Word, and then when I put it in there, it seemed like it was too big for the page. And even when I tried to go back and fix it, it seemed like it didn't go right. Maybe it's just my browser. I don't.
Okay, I'll look at that. I'm looking at, I'm opening Isaacar's right now. I don't see Nasha and Akilah's link. All right, that's going to come up here. All right. Now, Nasha, who did you partner with? Who were you partnered with in terms of your reading and feedback? Keela, who did you partner with?
Bible Castle, we didn't partner. What we did was we just, like, read it, and then everybody gave their feedback, because that's the way we usually did it. We didn't think about, well, you did say partnering, but it just didn't happen that way. For some reason, everybody, you know, it just kind of fell that way. We didn't partner.
Cool. All right. So, I got Akila, my sermon in a nutshell. Okay. And so good. And I'll get to read. I definitely want you to take a note of reading others, because one of the ways you learn to write is to be among other writers. And people are like, wow. It's like people who listen to other rappers. You know, have you heard other rappers set a style and other people borrow some things from that style? Or other musicians, like jazz musicians, they would hear John Coltrane do something and, wow, they put it in there. Or a comedy person here, comedy routine. You know, we don't do anything by ourselves. You learn from others. So this process of reading your other students' writing can really help your writing. Is there anything that you got from somebody else's writing that you can use to improve your own?
Well, one thing I was thinking about was I liked how she had transitions in hers. Like, her transition from one paragraph to the other was smooth, and I'd like to be able to get my paragraph to do that. I didn't get to hear America either. But I like that, and Isaac Charles, how he, like, put information about the topic that he was writing about into his paper to make it fuller.
Yeah, I liked Issachar's detail. I like his detail, how he's very good at explaining what he's talking about. So I like that in his writing. And for with Akila's, I like her poetic mode and her poetic mode. I don't know if that's, I'll say poetic style. Her poetic style. I like her poetic style of writing. I like the metaphors she uses and how she's able to, her imagery, because she's able to describe what she's talking about in terms of imagery, so you can actually see what she's talking about. And she's like a narrator in a story, so I also like to be able to do that, to be able to visually describe what I'm talking about, like she is, through words.
Great. Safia, let me hear from you. Did you hear anything, and did you get a chance to read your paper? Alrighty, don't know where she is. Akanke, did you read yours?
No, I was trying to load it up, but it wouldn't load up, and then people just started to go and read their own papers.
Okay, I heard you, Akanke. Safia, do you have a wired connection? It seems like you're on a delay. And now that I know that, I'll, you know, provide some extra time. You want to come back? Safia? Okay, great. Try it again. You got a new computer with new Vista and all that stuff like that. So, let's hear it. Come on with it. I know it's coming through.
I'm not on my new computer right now. I'm on my landline computer. So I'm trying to get it transferred from my because I wrote it in Notepad, but because of the internet, we have the internet and phone outages. So I was trying to copy it and wouldn't let me copy and paste. So I started to transfer it over to the wiki, but I didn't finish it. So no, I didn't have a chance to share my essay.
Okay. Now, Akanke, do I have your permission to put your essay up for us to use it to do some work? And some of the questions I ask you, I'll ask others, and I will also go over others' papers in a similar fashion, but not today. I will do that. She gave me hers on Monday, like I asked for it. And so I was able to do that yesterday. So Akanke, do I have your permission to do that, or would you rather not? Either answer is okay with me.
You can do it if you like. I don't mind.
Okay, just a second, folks, and we're going to put this up, and maybe you can, y'all can, we'll just go through it in that way for a few. Okay, folks, look to the right where it says recent activity, and you'll see Akake Summer Paper, WAS. Click on that, please. That should be an E on that, W-A-S-H-E, but I left that off. Look to the right, and you'll see recent activity. Okay, that may be blank. Just a minute. Okay. Oh, I don't know why. Go to Aya Wiki, www.aya, not www, anything. HTTP. Okay, if you click there and look to the right column, you'll see under recent activity, her paper. All right, let me know when you have it up. Okay. All right, so this is a reminder for you of a grammar site, okay? Of course, there are two there. We're going to spend a lot of time with number two. Number one is a classic for us, so you might make sure you put these under your resources, okay? And we'll come back to that in a minute. This is her greatest summer ever, okay? What you see here are my comments to it. Akanke, I got so much stuff there, it may be hard for you to read that first section there. But see if you can, short of and working around what I put, and then we'll come back and deal with my suggestions.
When summer starts, a really happy feeling comes to mind. I've always loved summertime, and ever since I was little, I remember having wonderful, fun-filled summers. I have memories of being involved in summer camps that really held my interest. The first few summer camps I went to were African dance camps. Not only did I dance, I learned about African culture and African drumming. Another summer camp I was involved in was a genealogy camp. I love learning about my lineage because I found out a lot about my family that I didn't know. In my research, I found that my mother's great-grandfather was the first black man to be on the Louisiana federal grand jury in 1910. And I found evidence that proved my father's grandparents owned a deed to 66 acres of land in Amite, Louisiana. I didn't always go to camps, though. Sometimes I went on summer vacations. I would go to Florida a lot to visit my great aunt Bertha and her family. As I got older, that happened less and less. I remember one great summer vacation to the Tennessee mountains. I went with my father and a couple of family friends, and we had a great time. We climbed the mountains and visited some of the people who lived there. I've also planned youth conferences with a youth organization called Incaribou. Before I became a member of Incaribou, I had the privilege of planning a conference for people my age and have deep conversations with them about issues that affect us as youth without any adults around. All of my summers have been new learning experiences, and I have learned many new things that I will never forget. Each summer, even though it seems to be getting shorter and shorter, have brought new challenges and new opportunities for me. I will cherish all of those moments. I also look back on what I've accomplished and see how the knowledge that I have will be great wisdom to pass on to younger generations. Learning is important for me, but having the ability to teach what I know to others is something I really had to learn about this summer. I also had to learn greater responsibility and develop the ability to make big decisions on my own. The things I did this summer are perfect examples of my succeeding at this task.
Great. Mook. Okay. Great. Y'all can give her any props you want to do that. Somebody also asked, what's his name?
I'm a little confused. Was that the whole thing or was it just the introduction? Because I still saw some underneath it, and she didn't read it.
That was just the introduction.
You mentioned your, I think your mother's great-grandfather. He was the first to be on the Louisiana federal grand jury. Do you know what his name was?
His name was Homer Ozame Cyprian.
Please write it. Very good. Okay, so let's look at some of the comments that I made, okay? and just see what you think of them and why you think I made them and that kind of thing like that, okay? First, also, as we're going around, I want to make comments to her and the things that I want you to also look for when you're writing. You want to proofread it. When summer starts, a really happy feeling comes. That parenthesis, man, that I put it there, comes to mind, which is I know what she would. That's how she would talk. Sometimes when we're writing, we leave them off. I know I do. So, and sometimes the more creative you are, the more you have to go back and when you change things to make sure that you're taking care of getting everything out. So let's go to, I have memories of being involved in summer camps that really, and what she typically had, held my interest. And what I'm encouraging her to do is to, right away begin to be more lively instead of saying held my interest. Sounds too academic, when you're talking about a fun-filled summer. Okay. I learned a lot from those camps because not only were they fun, they were very informative. And what I suggest, and when I say try, just is that it's an option. If it's not a try, then it means yeah, you got to change it. But try is just for you to try it on. I was really surprised how much I learned having so much fun. So, what's the difference between those two? I learned a lot from those camps because not only were they very fun, they were very informative. Okay. So what do you first think about that, Kanke? I was really surprised how much I learned having so much fun. What do you think about that option?
I think that's a good option. It kind of summarizes both. It's like summarizing what I said, you know, making it shorter. So I think that sounds a lot better.
All right. Any other comments? Thank you, Kanke. About that.
I like your introduction. If it were me, I probably wouldn't have started with past summer. I probably would have just, you know, went right into this summer. But you know, it was cool that you added about your research that you did about your mother's family and everything. So I guess in a way you could have still used it.
Great. So Akilah is rolling in, and certainly y'all can do that. As you've heard this introduction, anything that you like and any options for her, although she's just read the introduction. So Nasha says she agrees.
I like how, like, you added stuff about past summers and things like that. Like Akilah said, I wouldn't put, like, so much of that because it's not, you know, it would take up the paper and it's not really what the paper's about. But I did like how you put that in there. I like how you put in your research. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you learned about your family and the camps that you went in before and stuff like that. Yeah, that's it. Good job.
I think you did a good job. I think you did a really good job. But I think the thing is, one thing that I would do differently is in your introduction, you're talking about your past summer and then what you did in your past summer, but for the introduction, it just seems very detailed. This seems like it should be like something in your body instead of the introduction, because when you're making the introduction, you're trying to get people interested and
letting them know what your essay is going to be about or what you're going to talk about. So, if it were me, I would probably put that in the body instead of the introduction. But that is a very, very interesting. It's a very interesting fact to put in there or compare with your present summer. But otherwise, good job.
All right. I had the same. Okay. Great information. I thought this was the paper. Before I got down to it, it's like, oh, this is the, oh. And so I was a little confused at first, and then I read the whole thing, and I realized that this was the introduction, and it does more than introduce and here's how. Can you think of ways that you could make the introduction shorter so that the reader pretty quickly knows that you're going to be talking about this summer? At the same time, how could you weave this great material in? Because I hope you hear everybody saying, this is great stuff. And how could we weave these in? How could you put them in the body? Any thoughts about how you might put those interesting things in the body, even as you talked about this summer?
Well, I'm not really sure, but I think that I could, like, briefly just talk about, some stuff, and then kind of, make a transition to talk about more of my own personal opinions about stuff, so that it kind of opens up what I'm going to be talking about next in the next chapter.
Okay. Anybody else got any ideas? If it were you, how could you take this? Because you will have a similar situation. There's stuff that I actually think it's a really good idea. Okay. It's just that for a paper of 5 pages, for the whole first page to be an introduction, it can be a bit much. You can do it, but I would take some of the juicier parts and put in here, and Medusa. And then figure out how to put them. If it were you, other classmates, how might she integrate some of this? What techniques, what writing techniques could she use to integrate some of this great stuff that she has in her introduction into her paper, in the body?
She could shorten it, some of it, and just like the key elements that she wanted to use. And then... like Nasa said, compare it to her summer, or talk a little, have a like little short summary about her summer, or maybe just say and that's what reminds me of this summer, or something like that.
Bingo! Flashbacks. Hey, make me think of flashlight. Anyway, flashbacks. Have you ever seen flashbacks? In movies and that kind of thing like that, where you you're talking about the Our Lady of Mercy High School and blah blah blah, and or you had to go out and it's like, wow, what a contrast from when I was, with my father going up the mountains in Tennessee, several summers ago. Boom. And so you get to put that in there. So you could use flashbacks, okay? Any other techniques in addition to flashbacks? Akanka, do you know what we mean by flashbacks?
I was just saying a good example of flashbacks, in a movie would be Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I don't like that movie, but it's a good example of flashbacks and stuff.
Akanke, what do you think about that? What's your thoughts? These are just options. That's not a good one. I don't think. I didn't even mean that's a lesson plan. I definitely not mean to go there. But anyway, there are some resources down at the bottom that may be cool. We'll check those out. Tips for writing successful flashbacks may be cool. Anyway, the point is, I don't want to go deep. I'm not trying to go deep into it because some of those resources aren't working. So forget that link there. What I'm really talking about is is Akanke, do you see how you might do that? Now, you don't have to do that. What really might be you could just compare and contrast, you know, you can use flashbacks to do it this summer with other summers. Because what you've gotten is so much good stuff that you would want, like, you know, what you found out about the black man from Louisiana grand jury is like, oh, whoa, wow, that's really interesting. That's cool. I want to know about that. Akilah wanted to know, what was his name? Forget your summer this summer. I mean, I want to know about that one. Or going up the mountains. I really like that. My whole question was, wow, who do you talk to, them people up there in the Tennessee mountains? It made me think of going up to Sassafras Ridge. The point is, because there's so much good stuff in your introduction, it doesn't it distracts from us focusing on the summer that's there. The purpose of the introduction is to build up the interest in this one, and you do it near the end in the sense of the theme that you continue to have is, I both learned things and they were interesting. And all my life, they were very interesting summers. I learned a lot and I had a lot of fun. And you repeat that, and at the end, you make a transition that not only did I, you know, was that, but now, this past summer, I began to learn about, you know, passing on information, responsibility, make my decisions on my own, and boom, boom. So those three pieces are that really structural elements of your introduction. But again, the purpose of the introduction is to make me want to read about this summer that you have here. Okay, your introduction makes me want to read about and ask you questions about the other stuff that you ain't write about. Okay, do you get that, Akanke? Does that make sense to you? Okay, now. Please don't throw it away. It's good stuff. Okay? It's good stuff. The question is where you want to use it, how you want to use it. Okay? That's all. And we can deal with some of the comments about semicolons and various stuff and why and those kinds of things like that. But the biggest feedback that I want you to take is that. Also, I want you to understand active and passive voice. So, I want you to look up that, and we'll go in it in detail when you like. I want you to rewrite it and submit it again, and then I'll give you more information and feedback, and we can keep working there. And that's how I'll get you. People will tell you here that sometimes I will give you more ink than you gave me. Is that right, Nasha? Is that right, Akilah? And so, but now I won't do that on every paper. Okay, sometimes I won't, you know, I'll hardly say anything. I'll let the students give a comment, and you see other things from other people so that you don't, is it too, my God, bye, see you later, won't keep you from mama your pen day. Yes, it's time for Keith Swahili. Great, thank you, Akanke. Y'all give Akanke props for letting her put stuff out there in that way, giving the corrections and stuff that I made, and then we're out of here.
I appreciate you guys, and great job, Akanke, and see you guys in Swahili.
All right, y'all. Out of here.